سبحان الله وبحمده سبحان الله.
24 minutes after 5 South African time on this beautiful Wednesday morning on our program As-Safinatu ila al-Jannah. Let's welcome the listeners of Al-Ansar International. Let's welcome the listeners of Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. It's the 15th of Ramadan, 1442. Ustad, welcome to the show this morning. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Barakallahu feekum Arafat. Jazakallahu khairan to our technicians, Brother Junaid Khan, Brother Riyad Hussain. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. All praise is due to Almighty Allah, the sustainer, nourisher and cherisher of the universe. Peace, blessings and salutations be upon our beloved master and leader, Nabi Muhammad Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Alhamdulillah, today we are at a halfway mark, 15th of Ramadan, 1442, with the grace and mercy of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Walal akhiratu khayrul laka min al-ula. Ya Allah, out of your benevolence, your grace and mercy, we beg of you, make the second half better for us and the entire ummah and muslimah this Ramadan, so we all can become better Muslims, human beings and ambassadors of Islam, so we try even better and do more only for the love of Almighty Allah and for the love of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alaihi wasallam from now till the day of Eid and post Eid also inshallah. Today we focus on chapter 12 Surah Yusuf verses 58 to 62. Now you need to understand a bit of background. We are speaking of two countries. One is Palestine. And there in Palestine, Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu salam is there, his family is there, his 11 sons are there. And remember, now everything is in the control of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. They start experiencing famine, drought, difficult conditions at that time there. And yea, in Egypt, we find that Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam is there. Yaqub refers to Jacob, peace be upon him. And Yusuf alayhi salam refers to Joseph, peace be upon him. He has multi-portfolios. He's the Minister of Finance, Minister of Agriculture, Minister of so many other portfolios. And because everybody now realize what a great personality. When we just look at him, you fall in love with him. So handsome he was, he will always be. And remember, the trials are now finished. Now it's ease and ease for him. Obviously, al-firaqu murrun, that to be separated from his biological father, that was a very difficult experience. But Almighty Allah let Egypt now flourish, bumper crops, bumper harvest, everything. And you have the best man in the world at that time, and Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam, to run all these matters and affairs. Now what is happening? People from different countries and places are coming to Egypt so that they can get their ration. People were coming for their ration to get food and corn and food, all that for themselves and their families. So yeah, Almighty Allah, this is Allah. Now remember, in this journey here, this is the first journey of Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam's brothers. They left Canaan, they left Palestine, and now they come into Egypt. How many of them? 10 brothers. Binyamin, Benjamin, he is there with Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam. He is the full brother of Joseph, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. The other 10 are half brothers, consanguine brothers. They share the same father, but the mother is different. So these 10 are coming now. Imagine yesterday, they were the ones who threw Rabbi Yusuf alayhi salam in the well. Yesterday, they were the ones who sold their brother as a slave and said that now Allah will give us honor and dignity. But Allah disgraces whoever He wants and He elevates whoever He wants. Nabi Yusuf alayhi salatu salam elevated and the brothers coming as beggars and paupers. Chapter 12, verse number 58. وَجَاءَ إِخْوَةُ يُوسُفَ And the brothers of Yusuf of Joseph came, 10 of them from Palestine to Egypt. Why? Because of the drought and the famine that had struck the land of Palestine. فَدَخَلُوا عَلَيْهِ And they entered upon him. He immediately recognized them. فَأَرَفَهُمْ He recognized them. But they did not recognize him. He was in his, you know, pomp and glory, if you want to use the term. And remember that so many years had passed, and they thought that must be he has passed away or something has happened to him. So, وَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ And they did not recognize Nabi Yusuf. They did not recognize Joseph, peace be upon him, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam. But he honored them. He was hospitable to them. And so many things happen, as you will see. This is now the first encounter. One side, Joseph, Nabi Yusuf, alayhi salam. On the other side, the 10 brothers. The father, Nabi Yaqub, alayhi salam. Jacob, peace be upon him. Binyamin, Benjamin, there in Palestine. وَلَمَّا جَهَزَهُمْ بِجَهَازِهِمْ So now when he prepared for them, arranged for them their provision and their food, they had their full ration, everything. So obviously he asked them, from where are you? Who's your parents? And how's the father doing? How's the children doing? How's everybody? So all the information he needed, so at least he knew that Nabi Yaqub alayhi salatu salam is still healthy, in the sense that he is still carrying on, but is very, very sad. So he told them, okay, the next time you come, this is what you must do. قَالَ أَتُونِي بِأَخِلَّكُمْ مِنْ أَبِيكُمْ So he gave them all the food, all the quota, all the ration, and told them, قَالَ أَتُونِي When you come again to me, then you must bring بِأَخِلَّكُمْ مِنْ أَبِيكُمْ Your brother from your father. Meaning, you must bring Benjamin, you must bring Binyamin. And Allah Taron, don't you see? Anni ufil kaila. I give the full measurement, and I gave you so much. Wa ana khairul munzilin. And I am the best host. How I made ikram of you, how I honored you. This is jiska zarf bara ho. Allah in kubara bana deta hai. Who keeps a magnanimous heart, Allah elevates him further. What do you think? Did Yusuf alayhi salam forgot that these were the same 10 brothers who dumped him there in the well? These were the 10 criminals who sold him in slavery? But he knows this is all part of the divine plan. Today Allah is elevating him more and more, and his own brothers are humiliated, coming as beggars and paupers at his court. Now let me give you a warning. He didn't tell them, you my brothers, but remember, فَإِلْ لَمْ تَعْتُونِي بِهِ And if you do not bring him in your next visit to me, you don't bring Benjamin, then your half-brother and my full-brother, but he didn't tell them that, obviously, فَلَا كَيْلَ لَكُمْ Then you will receive zilch. You won't get any ration at all. And indi فَلَا كَيْلَ لَكُمْ indi وَلَا تَقْرَبُونَ So you will get absolutely nothing. As far as the ration go, if you don't bring your brother, he's pining. He wants to meet his brother, full-brother. And then the father. So imagine what went through the father's heart and mind. What's going through his heart and mind, Nabi Yusuf, Joseph, peace be upon him. And then if you come, only 10 of you without Benjamin, Binyamin, وَلَا تَقْرَبُونَ وَلَا تَقْرَبُونِ So don't even come near me and approach me. I will not entertain you. قَالُوا They said, سنراود عنه أباه. We will try our level best to convince him, our beloved father, and his father. See again, they said. So سنراود عنه أباه. They could have said our father, but disrespect, you know. سنراود عنه أباه. That we will try our level best to convince and persuade his father. وَإِنَّا لَفَائِلُونَ. And surely we will do it. Not because they love Benjamin, but because they were worried of their own quota and their own ration. Now, when they're about to leave Egypt, and they're coming back to Palestine now. So he, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, minister of finance, minister of agriculture, minister of so many portfolios, he has so much authority, Allah blessed him with. وَقَالَ لِفِتْيَانِهِ جَعَلُوا بِضَاءَتَهُمْ فِي رِحَالِهِمْ. He, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, tell the servants, the youngsters and the servants, that that money they paid, what currency, bida'a means the money, merchandise. Those days there was bartering going on. So that money, merchandise they brought. So وَقَالَ لِفِتْيَانِهِ جَعَلُوا بِضَاءَتَهُمْ فِي رِحَالِهِمْ. You, the servants, whatever they paid, put it back in their luggage. So meaning I gave them everything gratis, free of charge. So that لَعَلَّهُمْ يَعْرِفُونَهَا. So that they will recognize it. إِذَا انْقَلَبُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ. So when they return to their family, إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْجِعُونَ. So that they must come back. They will say they got all the food, all the ration free of charge, the money also returned. So they will convince Nabi Yaqub alayhi salam, you must send Benjamin and Binyamin. So what happens? Inshallah, tomorrow. Now we were discussing Palestine. We were discussing Egypt. Now listen, O esteemed listener of Radio Al Ansar and Markaz Sahaba, the voice of Ahlus Sunnah Wal Jama'ah. I told you that Almighty Allah will punish the Jews, the apartheid regime, till the day of Qiyamah. If you know what's happening in the world, Human Rights Watch, HRW, have said that Israel is an apartheid regime. They try and duck and dive, but Almighty Allah's kalam, His speech, you must remember, is always the truth. And always you will see the system of Almighty Allah is such that Almighty Allah lets it happen. So Almighty Allah made the announcement, وَإِذْ تَأَذَّنَ رَبُّكَ, that your Allah has made the announcement, لَيَبْعَثَنَّ عَلَيْهِمْ إِلَىٰ يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ. Allah will send against the Jews till the day of Qiyamah, El day of justice and judgment. May yasumuhum su al adab. Somebody to punish them. What a stain and upon them. The Human Rights Watch said, you have gone now to the level of apartheid. We know what is apartheid, and go ask Bishop Tutu. He's no Muslim. So ask me, ask any person who's been there. Remember, the apartheid, the rogue apartheid regime of Israel has, is worse than the apartheid we had. Remember, here in South Africa, we know yesterday was 27 years for democracy. Not that we are part of that in this sense. We don't agree with all the policies. But you must remember, the fact remains, the collapse of apartheid. So see, that is Quran. Then that is Palestine. Then Egypt, the authorities there, they executed 9 people. One of them, Sheikh Jibreel, rahimahullah, one of the great qaris and reciters and teachers of the noble Quran. What a shame and a disgrace. Every person of justice, whether you Muslim or non-Muslim, these type of actions must be condemned by the regime of Egypt. Remember that. Why all this? That they execute people and so forth in the month of Ramadan to curry favor with their masters. And who are the masters of the Arab countries and Muslim countries? Majority of them are aligned either to America or to Israel, and they have become the slaves of America or Israel instead of becoming the slaves of Almighty Allah. Remember, let me make this one statement very clear here, that our fatwa is this. Majority majority of the Muslim leaders, I'm speaking of those on top, the Fir'auns and the Pharaohs of today in the Muslim countries, Arab countries, majority of them are not even Muslim. Remember that. They are the people who are doing the work of the West so that they can get rid of Islam. But nobody can get rid of Islam. Allah will humiliate, disgrace them. Modi thought he will make India Islam free. See what Allah did with him. You in Egypt, you in other countries, tinpot dictators, remember Allah ki lati be awaz here. How come you remove the democratic president of Egypt, Hafiz, President Mursi, rahimahullah, and for the current one, we will say la'anahullah. You must remember that is the system of Almighty Allah. We have to speak the truth and we have to speak justice and place our trust solely only in Almighty Allah. Remember this, we don't have to curry favor with any person, any politician, any government. Speak what Quran teaches. These Arab leaders, these Muslim leaders, do they ever read Quran? Chapter 5, verse 51. Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu, la tattakhidul yahuda wa nasara awliya. Oh, you believe, do not take the Jews and Christians to be your friends and protectors. Ba'duhum awliya wa ba'd. They are the friends and the protectors of one another. Wa man yatawallahum minkum fa innahu minhum. Who befriends them. You think they're going to help you all that? Tomorrow you will wake up with the Jews and Christians. Allah is telling you, you're out of Islam already. Chapter 5, verse number 51. So may Almighty Allah let peace prevail on justice. May Allah give our 9 brothers there in Egypt the highest rank of shahadat and martyrdom. For a true Muslim, martyrdom is his aim and honor. And for the zalims and the dictators, power is their aim, but they forget they will lose that power and everlasting humiliation and disgrace. May Almighty Allah Jalla wa Ala bring peace to all the Muslim and Arab countries and guide them all. Ameen. Ya Rabbal Alameen.
Ustad, Walter wants to know, he says, good morning AK. I heard, he says, that was ever the Quran banned in Russia? Ustad, Walter.
For 70 years it was banned, my brother. So you must remember, take that example. You know that when I went to Russia, we went to Moscow, we went to St. Petersburg. From there I came to Uzbekistan. We landed in Tashkent. From St. Petersburg we flew to Tashkent. And then they will tell you a great story and a narrative which will shake you, brother Walter. You see, Stalin, you know, that all the whole world knows about them. So you must, Lenin. So you must remember that Leningrad was the name of St. Petersburg. Lenin told his people, you see, in that safe there is the holy book of the Muslims. And I'm telling you, we call this wasiyat in our term. So Lenin told his people that book must be returned to the people there, to the Muslims. So that Quran Sharif, that noble Quran was given to who? You must remember, to the people in Tashkent. And you will believe in these things. For us is not even relevant, but for you it will be relevant, Walter. You must remember, when you go to Tashkent, the capital of Uzbekistan, then you will see the Quran Sharif of the third Khalif and successor of Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, verified by UNESCO. So remember, they would not allow for 70 years the Quran Sharif to be read and so forth. But who can go against the command of Allah? So the main one that was in their vault, that one they gave to the people in Uzbekistan. One day when you go to Uzbekistan, visit Tashkent, the main museum, and you will see it there. And the big certificate of UNESCO. What do you say of that? Almighty Allah protects and preserves the Quran everywhere. President Mursi, rahimahullah, he told the tinpot dictators in Egypt, bring one Quran Sharif. I know what you're going to do with me. They didn't give him the Quran. He said, oh, don't you know I'm a Hafiz? I read Quran by heart, but I just wanted to look at the Quran, touch the Quran, kiss the Quran, but they did not allow him. Therefore, we say, President Mursi, Rahimahullah al-Shaheed. And for the others, we say, Allah guide them or decimate them.
Ustaz, let's go to Brother Abdul Hamid from Swazi. He says, dear Mufti Sahab, can you get a donor from a person who had COVID? Is it permissible? And the person is late to start.
So you must remember that what do you mean by a donor? You mean for some organ and something? Yeah. So if you are speaking about that after death, that person must give you something, the fatwa ruling is not permissible that. If you mean that whilst the person is alive, so our fatwa verdict is, if a person is a donor, for example, the eye or the kidney or whatever, so all these type of things, whether the donor is a Muslim, non-Muslim, so that would be permissible, but it must be a matter of life and death. Not for aesthetic reasons, and now you don't like the color of your eye, you want to change it and so forth. So that is haram. And second, you can't be selling the organs. To sell the organs, all that is totally haram in Islam and not permissible.
Ustad, if we do not scan the moon, can we still read the dua for the new moon, Ustad?
Remember, you have to scan the sky in Islam. We're on the 29th day of the lunar month. So that night there, the 29th fast, then that night. So that night there could be the next day, the 30th, for example, 30th of Ramadan. Or the next day could be the 1st of Shawwal. So we know that on the 13th or 14th will be Eid al-Fitr, 1st of Shawwal. So that will be Thursday or Friday. So that Wednesday night, so that will be the 12th of May, we must scan the sky. And in South Africa is 20, 21 hours, so it's 50-50%. Maybe you see, maybe we don't see, if conditions are clear and so forth, or overcast, all that only Almighty Allah knows. Sumu liru'yatihi wa'aftiru liru'yatihi. Hadith in Bukhari Sharif. You start your fast with the sighting of the moon and the crescent, and you make your Eid al-Fitr and the 1st of Shawwal also with that. So we have to wait for the moon samis, the mankakers, and inshallah, so whatever is best for us and the ummah, that will happen. So Eid al-Fitr, first Shawwal, will either be 13th of May or 14th of May. So exactly from today, now 2 weeks, today is Wednesday, so another 2 weeks we fast, and then Thursday or Friday will be Eid, inshallah. So when, so that Wednesday night, we will be scanning the sky, and then announcements will be made, whether the crescent is sighted or not. Sighted, Thursday Eid. Not sighted, then Friday Eid.
So, Ustad, if I lend somebody money for 1.5 years, do I have to pay zakat on that money? It is not in my possession, Ustad.
Remember the basic rule and principle. The basic rule and principle is this. Whenever I give you a loan and I'm not allowed to charge you 1 cent, 1 rand, $1, 1 rupee extra. Kullu kardin jarra manfa'atan fawariba. When you gave a loan to a person, it's a loan. So you must remember any benefit that accrues to you. So that is riba, is interest, is sood, is viaj, is totally haram, unacceptable. The hadith in Jami al-Saghir. So I gave you $100, so you give me $100. I can't come with the story, inflation and us and all that is fairy tales. So in Islam, that doesn't work. So it's riba, it's interest. So that's one. Then number two, the person who forwarded the loan, so the creditor, so he, zakat, will be compulsory upon him. I gave you 1,000 rand, 5,000, 10,000, 20,000, whatever, for example, I'm giving. So then zakat is compulsory upon me and not on the debtor, not the person who took the loan. Next one is, how will the zakat work when you have the money by you and I don't have it? As long as I don't have it, then zakat is not compulsory. If you pay it lump sum, then it will become compulsory. You pay it to me after 5 years, 4 years, let's just take 4 years, it makes it easy for us to calculate. So now I gave you 100,000 and now you will be the person, you pay me that 100,000 lump sum after 4 years. So I will have to pay zakat for the four preceding years. So 10%, 2.5, 2.5, 2.5, 2.5. So 10%, 10,000 rand will be my zakat. So that is how it will work. And if you are paying in installments, the amount I receive, on that there will be zakat. On the amount I did not receive, there will not be zakat. And if you don't pay me at all bad debts, on that there is no zakat.
Ustad, to encourage my young daughter that fard and wajib salah is compulsory upon her, can we read our Isha, then witr salah before Tarawih? As when she reads her Tarawih, she falls off to sleep. She's only 9 years old, Ustad.
So in a case like that, very good. So if she's still not baligha, in Islam, the earliest a girl, a daughter becomes baligha is when she is 9 years old. So I think that your daughter is still not baligha. She has not attained the age of maturity, puberty. So very good. Do that. You must remember, read your Isha, read your two sunnats, two nafil and so forth, and then read witr. And then after that, you read your Tarawih and she is feeling sleepy. Then she goes and sleep. Make sure she's not going to tell you she's sleeping and she's busy with the phone and internet. So take all those things away and make sure she has no access to that. So then it is fine. There's no problem because she is not yet baligha. She's not yet mukallaf and is no obligation upon her. As yet, it is not compulsory upon her.
I see, brother Adesh says that I just heard you earlier on saying about Modi. So the question is, Mufti Saab, he says that how come Modi and them, they don't like you people Muslims? But here in South Africa, we like Muslims. I'm totally lost, brother Adesh, Ustad.
We always say that we have problems with the BJP. We don't have problems other part. In BJP party, because go study, my brother Adesh, what is their constitution? What is their aim? What is their objectives? Openly, they don't make it a secret. And they say for the Muslims there in India that either you go Pakistan, or either you go Kabristan. You go to Pakistan and pick up from here, or you go to the graveyard. And if you want to stay here, then you must worship the Hindus, which worship like the Hindus, Ram Ram and so forth and so on. You go see it. It's part of their policy. And you must remember that today they're realizing that what is happening to them, and the people will turn against him, and they're already turning against him. So our problem is not with you, my brother Adesh. Our problem is with Modi and his policies. And where did they learn all this? Yeah, remember, it got fine-tuned by their teacher, and their teacher is the rogue regime of Israel. Israel said, see what we do with the Palestinians. We will teach them a lesson, frustrate them, they must get out from here, and we will make Israel a pure Jewish state. So you listen to the BJP, Modi and his cronies, and they say they want to make India a pure Hindu state. So that is the binding fact. That is our objection, whether it be Bibi, Benjamin Netanyahu, whether it is Modi, whether it is anybody else, their handlers or the Arab puppets who are supporting them. So we condemn them all because they want to eliminate Islam. And the more people try to eliminate Islam, the more people embrace Islam. Go see all the videos and everything are coming out from here and there, how the Hindu police are telling the Muslims, Jao, Jao, I speak Hindi, I speak Urdu, my brother Adesh. Jao, jao, taravi paro, hamare liye dua karo, ke desh mein se ye virus chale jai. If you understood what I spoke, Adesh. So they are begging the Muslims, please, please go to the mosque and pray, pray for the Daesh, pray for India and make dua and pray to Allah, he must take this virus away. Wow. But when I turn back, then I saw what you did into the Babri Masjid. When I turned back, I saw what you did and demolished our mosque. When I turned back, I see what you did in Kashmir. When I turned back, I saw that how many women you raped and how many children you kidnapped. So my brother Adesh, when we speak, then we have to speak holistically, not selectively. Our problem is not with you, Adesh. I don't know you. We living here for 150, 160 years, we got no problem. But we're speaking of India. And when the Congress and other parties were there, all that was smooth. There were some problems, but not that serious. But with them, it's a policy. You must remember, get rid of the Muslims and teach them. And the apartheid Israel and their handlers are teaching them this. That is our gripe. And now today, you see, we did about Joseph, Nabi Yusuf alayhi salam, dumped the day in the well, sold as a slave, all landed up in jail. And then he becomes minister. Then the brothers have to come as paupers and beggars. Today, the same thing is going to happen to Modi and them. Remember that. The Hindus are turning against him because they can see that this man here, if you see, he's the super spreader of the virus in the world. Why? Because he's drunk with power and so forth. So that is there. When the Tabligh Jamaat, the Muslims were going out, the Indian media said, these people must be given the death penalty. They are the super spreaders of the virus. What you are doing, are you not the super spreaders? See, my brother, when we speak fair and justice. That's why I told you, when we speak, irrespective of where it happens, in India or Egypt or anywhere, we have Israel, apartheid Israel, speak what is fair and just. That is our message.
Allahu Akbar. I see. Brother Adesh says, thank you, sir. I just don't like his actions. Ustad Adesh.
Yes, we also don't like his actions, my brother, and policy. Add that word.
Subhanallah. Let's go to United States of America, Ustad. Says, good morning, sir. I am a dog breeder. I have dogs everywhere. My Muslim friend refused to enter my home because of my dogs. He says angels do not enter a home where there are dogs present. I am asking a question to you, sir. Sir, you guys believe that there is an angel that extracts your soul. So does it mean that if I keep the dogs indoor, I will never die in my house? Bongo from Texas, Ustad.
Bongo, Texas. You see, I got three answers for you. Now, Bongo, first, our aim must be to educate people. In Islam, three categories. If you have dogs, you got your bulldog, your Alsatian, and whatever dog, you all know better than me. You got it for security purposes, for your house, for your ranch, because they in Texas, you guys have big, big ranches and so forth. And if you got all that for your security, for your business, for your home security, so all that will be permissible Islamically, but you keep it outside, don't bring inside your house and so forth. Second one, if you got the dogs for hunting purposes, that you use them for hunting the animals, the prey, P-R-E-Y and so forth, so all that is permissible in Islam. How we can use, you know, the bow and arrow, we can use the hunting gun, we can use the dogs as well, but those dogs, the kalbe muallam, that they know about hunting and so forth and so on, their conditions, but that is permissible. But if you keep a dog, you must remember, just as a pet, as your best friend and so forth, that Islam condemns. So that are the three scenarios in Islam. What the brother told you, my brother, there in Texas, Dallas, wherever you are, so it is لا تدخل الملائكة بيتن لا تدخل الملائكة بيتن فيه سورة أو كلبون, that the angels will not enter, the angels of mercy, the angels of mercy will not enter that house and that place where there are pet dogs or where there are animate objects and so forth and so on. You see, Bongo, I don't know you, but I like your name, Bongo. So anyway, now Bongo, you see, many years ago, what you are saying, that one person told the Maulana, the Imam, if you all call Imam there in America. So he told the Imam, so you saying that if I have a dog, then the angel won't come. So it means that I'll keep the dog by me, then I'll not die. So the Imam told him, you will die a dog's death. You will die a dog's death. So what he understood, that according to your logic, that the angel will come, he will take away the life of the dog, and then he'll take your life, according to your logic. So he gave the answer, you will die a dog's death. So don't think that anybody can escape death. Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Every living being shall taste death, my brother. There's only God, Almighty Allah. He was, He is, He will always be. Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Every living being shall taste death. Kullu shay'in halikun illa wajah. Everything must and shall perish except Him, the Almighty Allah, the Supreme Being, the one and only God, capital G.
Ustad, we're going to leave it there. We've got about 2.5 minutes left, inshallah. Any messages from your side, Ustad?
Gee, our messages is 2, 3. Number one, today, Mawlana Arafat's voice is back, mashallah. So the honey is working, inshallah.
Ameen.
So, inshallah, between 11 and 12, we have the bliss of marriage today. And then, for 1:05 to 1:30, inshallah, we will continue with our tafsir and commentary. 1:30 to 2, inshallah, from the archives. Then 2 to 2:30 with Brother Suleiman Esop. We have the special Ramadan Q&A, and inshallah that you can pose your questions. Remember, today is Wednesday. Between Zohar and Asr, du'as are accepted. So raise your hands, O Ummah, O Sa'im, O Sa'ima, O fasting person, and beg Almighty Allah. You can see the halat, the conditions of the Ummah. People are being executed. You must remember, even in Ramadan. So may Almighty Allah destroy the enemies of Islam, and may Almighty Allah grant the shuhada the highest stages. Ameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.